Speaking of Reliability, a podcast with good friends talking with you about reliability engineering topics. Welcome to Speaking of Reliability. This is Fred Schenkelberg.
And this is Kirk Gray.
Hey, Kirk. You know, we were just recording the last episode we just did, and I heard, I think, two different animals in the background in your place.
Yes, we have a little zoo here, a parrot, two dogs. Fortunately, the guinea pigs are very quiet.
Yeah.
And the horse lives pretty far away from us.
Okay, so we're safe. But I think it was a dog, you know. I don't know if you remember when I first started doing these recordings, I had a cat that she was just super consistent, reliable. She was reliable. If I hit record and the little red light came on my microphone, she'd start talking to me, meow, and crying. And then the garbage truck would drive by and, you know, crunch its load right outside the door. I mean, It was just all, and then I'd be like, oh man, you know, and I think your dog was probably responding to somebody at the door or the mailman came up or, you know, something like that. Dogs are very consistent about that. Some of them are, right? If there's certain activity, they're going
to... They do. I mean, they show you, fortunately, they want to go out to go to the bathroom. I mean, obviously, we're going to have some people that are dog people and some are cat people here. Some that like both, and I've had both at different times, and they're certainly, as animals and pets, they're wonderful in their own way, but pretty different as far as reliability goes in getting their behavior.
Well, cats are consistent, right? They will ignore you unless they want something, and then they will pester you, right? And dogs are, you know, you can train and do, and they'll be consistent with that, and you can even like guide dogs and support dogs and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, cats are trained, their own trainers. Like they hear a can open of cat food, I think they'll, you know, a lot of them will run up. Yeah. You know, they're not Pavlov's cat.
No,
but they do respond
consistently. You know,
anything that moves really rapidly too.
That's right. That's right. The dog's tail going back and forth.
Yeah. But it's a matter of, you know, we were talking about in relation to quality and reliability, what are the two? And I'd say well, the dog is pretty reliable in its behavior as far as being able to control it and being able to direct that behavior. And maybe a cat's more on the OEM, you know, somebody produced it. They're not controllable. I mean,
there's a lot of variability.
I like to hear people say, yeah, I got my cat trained, you know, and I'm
this
thinking
about that. Yeah. Right. The cat trained you.
Right. How many I've seen once like on late night television, you know, where a guy has a cat, it's trained some cats. But you know, just to walk across a rope consistently on a command was a major issue with training a cat. Whereas you see dogs can just do amazing things. They've always been part of circus, circus animals or circus shows or, entertainment. Doing tricks and things. But cats, you don't see that with cats.
No. I remember years and years ago, HP had a new brand being created, new colors and schemes, and we were supposed to use inside and outside this style of slide making and presentation making, which was kind of crazy. And so I'm sitting there going, oh, they just opened this image library. We can find all these cool images. And it had all the products, right? It had beautiful image, glamour shots of all these different products.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And so I looked up the term reliable or reliability, right? I was expecting something. I was wondering what these marketing people thought of that term and how would you depict it on a slide or an image. Mm-hmm. And it was two pictures of German shepherds, one sitting down and one standing up. That was it. That was the total library for the term keywords reliable or reliability. okay, I'm on my own here. But the issue I see and why I wanted to bring up the difference between cats and dogs, and you were mentioning quality and reliability, is that most of our customers, vast majority of our coworkers, don't use the same definition of those terms that we do, that are working in the quality and reliability field, right?
Right.
Even quality folks I've run into, and I think reliability folks do, is those, they'll say, you know, quality includes reliability. Reliability is just one aspect or one characteristic of a quality product. It's, you set a specification, it either meets it or it doesn't. Right.
Right.
And then color and fit, you know, form, function, and,
right,
and all the other aesthetics and all these other pieces that make up all these different pieces of the quality puzzle. Whereas I look at it as, and I think most reliability people look at it as, you know, it's like those bumper stickers. We can do everything quality does, but we do it over time. Right. So it has to work. It has to work over time. It doesn't have to work just once and meet spec. It has to work over time, still meeting the spec. And so I look at it as quality is a subset of reliability when you add the time dimension. So I don't think there's an answer to either one of those. But
right. But I also think to the consumer, from the perspective of the user, that reliable function and reliable operation, even though there might be variation in its, you know, I don't know, it doesn't play as loud as it used to or something like that. But that is heavily weighted. I mean, if you were to weight these aspects of a product versus its quality, whether it's paint fades or the numbers on the push button wears the paint on the push button, like on, you know, you go
stove. Gas. We've wiped off the labeling on our stove. We have a gas grill.
Yeah, right.
And the little markers on the dials just wiped off completely.
And I see that on, you know, commercial, like gasoline pumps, you know, where you have a keyboard or something like that. And I'm thinking, you know, gosh, they should know by now not to. It's got to be an indentation, an impression, not a coat of ink.
That's right.
I had that. They had that problem on some of the early debit cards that my credit union made. They didn't have a covering over the coating over the numbers.
Oh, it would wear off. As you slide it would wear off.
Yeah. And we no longer have credit cards with raised letters, which we did for the old
impressions.
Kind of dates us,
you know, I actually used one of those a year ago. I was in a taxi and he pulled out a slider. And,
oh, really?
So I don't have connection. I'm going to use my backup system.
Well, you wouldn't have anything cards. Those cards wouldn't have anything to print because they don't have that embossed, you know,
I did.
Lettering.
Yeah. I had an old fashioned card. I guess I've had it too long.
Unfortunately, they have the chips now that are very reliable and very much more secure. But
well, that's, you know, that's, you just mentioned another term I wanted to bring into this, is that if a product fails its security, is that a reliability failure?
Yes.
He says tentatively.
Your data is wiped out. Yeah. Or you've got some ransomware in your product. Yeah,
well, it's
that's kind of a reliability issue. It's man-made. I mean, it's
an expectation of the customer that your product will function, and part of that function is the security features of it. And that if it fails, you lose that security feature. Usually, you find out the hard way because it's breached or stolen or whatever, right? But we call that a security problem, not a reliability problem in the general terminology.
You're correct. That would be a security problem, even though, I mean, obviously we're getting into autonomous vehicles and it was hacked and it wouldn't start or wouldn't run or wouldn't, you know, follow your directions. It was somebody else was driving. It was controlling it. That would be a reliability issue. Yes, a security and reliability issue. Yeah. I guess it can be both. Right.
Yeah. Well, and then you could throw safety into this. You can do, I mean, safety, right. if the customer, I don't care what the customer calls it, right? If it's a dead on arrival or it failed after 20 years or it was hacked or it was whatever, if their perception is that it's not doing what it's supposed to do, it's what it's expected to do, it's failed.
Well, that's true. That's true. When I'm my laptop, if it were to be, you know, with a virus were to cause it not to boot up or to be locked up always, that and it would be a failure. It's as much as a hardware failure.
Yep.
I can't use it, so it's broken. So that's becoming a more important part of reliability, is protection against malware and hacks and intrusions and people being able to take over. Now that most of it's we've got Bluetooth, we've got Wi-Fi, we've got
there's a wideband one that's coming out now too. It's a shorter distance, but another one of these features.
Shorter than Bluetooth?
Yeah, it's one to use for gesturing and for all kinds of other stuff, and for connecting two units on your desktop without going all the way down to your server and back, you know, kind of thing.
Bluetooth's pretty weak.
Yeah, Bluetooth's not too strong.
It doesn't go very far.
Yeah, so. there's all kinds of cool stuff. I don't know the details of it.
I'm sure they're going to come up with other protocols, and they might consolidate some of these.
That's right.
You know, instead of having wireless, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and maybe the one you're talking about, they'll do that before. I don't know if that would be more reliability or bigger risk, because you're putting all your eggs in one basket.
Well, that you keep hitting these terms. This is I'm thinking of is the risk part. I mean, so much of what we do in reliability is to understand what the risks are. And usually, typically, we think of how is it going to fail? How's this function not going to work, right? How's this feature not going to do what it's supposed to? How many, if this button mechanism fails, that button won't work anymore and it doesn't work. You can't turn it on or whatever.
That's right. And as we consolidate more functions into a single chip or single device, we carry the risk of, instead of one function not working and with the others, you've got all functions not working. So there's that trade-off.
But it's expanding as we look at cybersecurity, as we look at bigger areas of safety and all these other aspects of it. So I think by considering risk in the broader sense to not just, well, how will this hardware fail or how will this software stop functioning? It's how will this system not deliver what it's expected to deliver?
Right.
And, so it's, if you buy it, growing up, I had a German Shepherd and she was the most reliable dog, would be, there on time. You could call her Duchess and she'd look right at you and was always happy to see you. And she was very, very consistent at her doing what you would expect her to do, except when you're out for a walk in the woods and a squirrel jumps across the trail.
All control by humans is off.
That's right.
It's too much of a stimulus for them to ignore.
Right.
Kind of like a lightning strike next to your computer.
Yeah.
You can't expect it to work.
No. But it's one of those things that, by broadening that scope of what we think reliability is, that it's all of those quality features. And I agree with you that some things don't matter as much to others. Unfortunately, not every customer will agree that fading paint is not a problem. Some customers will, right? And they will return it.
I'm not saying it's not a problem, but I would.
It's not the same.
It's not reliability, in my opinion. And they say, this is poor quality paint. I'd agree with them. Yeah, that's poor quality. It's fading or chipping off.
Well, you get to throw the quality guys under the bus for that one. I think I see where you're going.
But you see, we just talked about cybersecurity, which didn't exist, 20, wasn't a big deal, let's say 30 years ago.
No.
Now with with more and more of our reliance on IT devices and things like that, and in our products, we're using more of that. Then the hackability and also the communications with those products is becoming expanding with Wi-Fi and Bluetooth. That now has become another new reliability issue or a new.
It ends up being a whole field on its own.
What's that?
It's becoming a field in and of itself.
Yeah,
they have their own conference. Yeah.
Right.
And same for site reliability, right? Website reliability and service system or software as a service. They have site reliability engineers. They don't do halt tests the way we would, right? They don't have a physical product to work on. Yet they deal with failure analysis and fracas and change management and making their systems more robust and all the other stuff. So there's a whole other field out there.
I think there would be ways of doing a halt type of a process, a limit, a processor limit and functioning and also hitting it. I would bet they try and hit it with attacks, denial of service, things like that, that they can stimulate, you know, using lots of other computers to attack and try and get in. And of course, I think they hire companies and some of these virus guys to go and try and hack through stuff. I mean,
well, it's not just the hacks that the site reliability is worried about. It's the, is the user interface obvious? Does the customer actually achieve what they're trying to achieve? So it's a combination of trying to figure out what they're trying to do and how likely is it that they're going to do it right. And, you know, if you enter your credit card number in, did it verify it quick enough so that we can say, hey, that's not, you got to enter it again, or does it do the transaction? And then we have to go find out where the money went, right? I mean, there's a zillion things that are involved with site reliability.
Yeah, but it sure matters when it comes to my money and my credit card. But now the convenience is I can look in my phone at any time and instantly see what transactions have occurred in my accounts. And so if I've lost a credit debit card or something like that, I have access to monitor that if it's, you know, been stolen or used, or I can see the last place I used it instantly.
Yeah.
And so that's, you know, there's, handy, in other words, there's other aspects that help offset some of the risks that those things have. So, you know,
And it's, you know, and when thinking back to cats and dogs, it's a cat I can leave for the day and don't have to worry about taking her out to go walk, and where a dog is going to be very, very reliable about going, hey, I need to go outside.
That's right. They communicate, they let you know. Cat's got its own nice litter box and you don't have to worry about it. And you know,
they were more robust. See, that's why I think cats are more reliable. Cats are tough and resilient, and they can learn, right? And they make
they can learn on their own.
Yeah,
they can learn where the birds are most likely to be under the feeder.
That's right.
So, but they are not real trainable. Everybody says, well, that's, you know, anyway, but that's why I like dogs. It was excitement when I come home. I've always got a welcoming crew. I guess cats sometimes come up to you if they're feeling like it.
That's right. Hey, you live here? You gonna feed me now? Go ahead.
Oh yeah, you live here too. You're the guy that brings me the food or sets up.
Yeah, there's all kinds of good jokes about that. But it's I think the bottom line though is that reliability in general is defined in the public mind, in most of our customers and coworkers, as it does what it's supposed to do, right?
Right.
You call a dog, they come, right?
Right.
Unless something's really wrong or a squirrel goes by.
Right? Dogs are very reliable. Cats are terribly unreliable.
That's right. For that function, right? For that function.
You call them. Maybe the cat will come. Maybe.
Might not even twitch its ear.
Like, depends on what's going on.
That's right. And in our products, customers don't care whether we have a 98% reliable in 3 years with this warranty policy, with that and this and that and the other thing. Hey, I'm trying to use it today. It's not working.
Right.
Whatever it's failed. Right.
And for instance, my Kia got hit with hailstones.
Oh, yeah, they do that.
And it's still a very reliable car, and I'm happy with it. It's got little dimples all over it now, which makes it a quality issue.
Well, no. I think you get better airflow over it.
Yes, you're right. I think you do. It's like a golf ball.
It's like a golf ball. That's right. You can't go above 20 miles an hour, otherwise it lifts off the road. But banks to the left.
Yeah, Mythbusters actually did a thing on that where they made cars that look like golf balls on the outside, and it did cut down in their air resistance.
Really? But I was just making that up.
Yes. Oh, you can look up Mythbusters. Okay. And it looked, they put a covering onto the, that was exactly the little dimples that were in golf balls.
And it changed the airflow.
Yes, and they did measure the gas mileage on the two different configurations. So it did show that you do reduce air resistance. So I did get the advantage. but I got $3,000 and I'm not going to repair it. You know, it looks okay. If you look at it, the sun gleaning off and a shiny surface, yes, you can see the little dimples. But it doesn't bother me in the least. And if somebody give me a $3,000 and say, I'll take a ball peen hammer and go tap little dimples on your car, I say, go right ahead. As long as you don't knock off the paint.
That's right.
And that was another thing. The paint didn't come off.
Oh, that's good.
Is hailstones don't knock off the paint, but they did make dimples. But that's a quality issue. That would be a, you know, when I sell the car, well, the quality of the surface is not very good, but the reliability of that car is great. And it still has a.
You have to make sure you advertise the increased fuel mileage. It'll pay for itself.
Yeah.
Real quick. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm never going to sell it. It's going to drive it into the ground probably.
All right. Well, anyway, that's the basic idea I wanted to bring up with you. And I think that the second part of the summary is that, remember that reliability is not just hardware, software, right? It's what the customer defines it as. And it could be cyber threats. It could be safety. It could be all the various risks that customers are going to identify as saying, hey, this isn't right. And if, bottom line is, if it costs you money as an organization because they're calling or returning your products or not buying them, right, it's a problem. And you got to deal with it.
That's right.
And so the reliability folks are in usually a good spot to do that. So don't get too hung up on whether it's a cat or dog in the next department or whatever. It's, you know, get on there and go make a good product.
Yeah, exactly.
That kind of thing. So anyway, Kirk, I didn't hear the dogs this time. So I think
they're outside. They weren't very good at the reliability of getting them outside, though. One cowers. So something wrong, you know. Anyway, but much easier to deal with than the parrot.
There you go.
Parrot's unreliable.
Independent.
Independent,
it's a feature.
Right.
It's featured. Yeah. All right, Kirk. Well, I think we'll wrap it up there.
Okay. Well, everybody, thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoyed the episode, and there's certainly more at Accendo Reliability. Tell them about it, Fred.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, the easiest place to go is to your iTunes or Spotify or wherever you listen to the podcast. We're coming up on our 500th episode, by the way, for Speaking of Reliability. Have over 1 million downloads. So you do enough episodes, you get bigger downloads. but also, if you want to get in touch with us, head over to ascendoreliability.com/go/SOR. And let us know what you think of the episode, which any other questions or topics you'd like us to talk about, stuff like that. We love it when we get some feedback and some ideas, and it helps us to bring back some other topics that you're part of the conversation of. So we look forward to hearing from you. All right. Thanks, Kirk. We'll talk to you again.
Okay. Thanks, Fred. Talk to you soon.
Cheers.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Speaking of Reliability. We invite you to join the conversation if you have a question or a topic that you think we should discuss in a future show. Please let us know. You can find a comment box below the episode show notes, or just leave a note as part of a review on iTunes.